Welcome to the Dr. John Day Show, a cardiologist's guide to real food, real living, and real happiness. Are you struggling with losing weight, fatigue, depression, or conditions that have you on medications? Is your health good, but heart disease or cancer run in your family? Most medical conditions are reversible or preventable. There is a better way to live. Let Dr. Day help you to feel younger today.
Hi, this is Dr. John Day from the Dr. John Day Show. Welcome to episode 22. Can the cookie you just ate cause your unborn child to become overweight? Behaviors are contagious, and we can change our genes. Before we jump in, special shout out to Brett Nord at finetunetech.com for his very kind 5-star review on iTunes. Thank you so much, Brett. It's reviews like these that help others to find us on iTunes and that they too can benefit from these life-changing messages that we share. So please, if you enjoy the show, tell a friend and leave us a review on iTunes. Some of you have asked about the format, what we are doing with this podcast. If you haven't figured it out just yet, that these are an audio version where I expand. I may go into new areas than what you will see on the blog, but that these are really an extension of what we have in the blog. Why have we done it this way? I find that for me, absorbing content is best. I like the podcast format. I'm now riding my bike to work. It's 25 minutes downhill, over an hour uphill all the way. And I like listening to podcasts when I'm mountain biking, when I'm skiing, when I'm biking, whatever. I really find it, or even just driving in my car. So we hope you'll enjoy this format. Please leave us a review on iTunes. Let me know what you think. Feel free to email me at john@drjohnday.com. I'd love to hear from you. So one more thing before we jump in today, the usual three things my lawyer wants me to share with you. On the show, I share general information. There is no medical advice. Two, while I love you listening to this podcast, it doesn't create a doctor-patient relationship. And number three, do not self-diagnose or treat based on anything that you hear on this show. Well, with that now done, let's really jump into this topic. This is an interesting topic. Can the cookie you just ate cause your unborn child to become overweight? Behaviors are contagious, and we can change our genes. There was a time when I couldn't imagine a day without a chocolate chip cookie or a donut. And who doesn't love a fresh, warm chocolate chip cookie? As a cardiologist, I would go to the hospital cafeteria during the off hours when I knew there wouldn't be many people around to buy my whatever I wanted at the time, cheeseburgers, fries, cookie, etc. I really hated it when people would look at my white lab coat stating cardiologist, cardiology, and then see the tray of food and sarcastically jab, "That's a healthy meal for a cardiologist." It's like somehow they expected me to be able to resist because I was a doctor, but I am no different than anyone else. The scary thing is that I thought I was the only person I was hurting with my sweet tooth addiction. At the time, I had no idea that the behaviors that I was participating in are contagious, or that my poor food choices could cause my children to inherit a gene for, say, diabetes or obesity. Even though it has been more than 3 years now, so yay, I'm at 3 years since I've had a cheeseburger, fries, cookie, or donut, I still crave these items. What has helped me to stay strong? Not only does what I eat make me feel better, but studies now show that what I eat can change my genes and can also affect the health of the generations that follow me. This gives me the purpose and resolve to shift my habits to healthier ones for myself and for my posterity. Let's run the obesity numbers. How has the obesity rate gone from approximately 10% in 1970 up to 36% in 2010. That's nearly a four-fold increase. Now more than 2 in 3 Americans are overweight or obese. That's 69% of our population. For men, it's even worse, as 3 in 4 adult men in the U.S. are now overweight or obese. What is driving everyone to gain so much weight? Why are we eating 500 more calories each day than what we ate in 1970? Traditional wisdom, based on Darwinian evolutionary theories, tells us that it's impossible for our genes to have changed that much in the last 40 years. Thus, it must be our lack of willpower that's driving us to gain this weight. I'm going to argue against that in this podcast, and I hope you'll agree with me as we go through it. And let me talk about behaviors as being contagious, and then about a phenomenon called epigenetics. So let's go first, dive into behaviors are contagious. Could gaining weight be as contagious as catching the common cold? Indeed, this is the argument set forth in a landmark study published in the most prestigious medical journal, that's the New England Journal of Medicine, in 2007. In this study, researchers from Harvard and UC San Diego looked at 12,067 patients from 1971 to 2003 living in Framingham, Massachusetts, as part of the Framingham Heart Study. Framingham is really a special place, as researchers have been following every person in Framingham, Massachusetts for the last several generations, and that's really how we were able to work out many of the risk factors for heart disease was based on what we learned from the people living in Framingham, Massachusetts. And what they found, I'm going to discuss three findings. One, if your friend gains weight, you are 57% more likely to gain weight as well. If your sibling gains weight, you are 40% more likely to gain weight. If your spouse gains weight, you are 37% more likely to gain weight too. And even more scary is if your friend's friend gains weight, guess what? You'll gain weight too. Wow. Whatever people are doing around us somehow affects our own health. How can this be? Well, the argument is we tend to follow the behaviors that we see around us as normal. The good news is you could take this research and twist it the other way. And these same researchers found that if a friend or a family member, say, gets healthy, odds are you're going to get healthy too. So one easy solution, if you want to gain weight, get in shape effortlessly, start hanging around these people. Because if you associate these people, whether it's at church, work, in your neighborhood, you are naturally going to lose weight without ever feeling hungry, get in shape without the pain, just because that's what everybody else is doing. So try it. Experiment. See if you can catch this healthy bug. And I'd love to hear what you learn from it. Let's talk now about genetic predestination. Just this past week, I had several patients tell me that they were destined to be overweight, diabetic, and have heart disease just because that's what happens to everyone in their family. One patient even went on to tell me this week, quote, "We all get the same gene and there is nothing we can do about it," end quote. When I heard this, I was so saddened. He felt that he really was a victim. And with this thought process, he too had become overweight, diabetic, and had developed a heart condition and hence was in my clinic. Could it be, and let me just raise this question, could it be that there was a learned behavior in his home and that maybe it really had nothing to do with genes at all? Or could it be possible that even if it was genetics, that we can change our genes through our lifestyle choices? And according to the new exciting science of epigenetics, the encouraging news is that yes, we can change our genes. Epigenetics, what does that mean? Well, epi means outside or on top of. Thus, epigenetics refers to the science of how tags are put on the outer portion of our genes or our DNA. What we eat, how we live, determines which of our genes are turned on or turned off based on whether there's a tag or there's not a tag. And usually these tags represent methylation of our DNA or is often referred to as our epigenome. Healthy lifestyles really can change our own genes. It is not just that we will benefit from us modifying our own genes, but our posterity will benefit as well. In the groundbreaking research of Dr. Dean Ornish of men with early prostate cancer, he found that a healthy lifestyle consisting of the following resulted in over 500 positive gene changes. So 500 positive gene changes just from these four healthy lifestyle behaviors. Number one, plant-based diet. Number two, daily exercise. Number three, daily stress-reducing activities. Number four, weekly support groups. Once again, plant-based diet, daily exercise, stress-reducing activities each day, as well as a weekly support group. Depending on how you look at it, epigenetics could be really exciting or really scary. If the foods that we eat, especially the real foods, and if we live a healthy lifestyle, this can put tags on our genes, which then can turn off bad genes and turn on good genes. And some of these tags can be inherited. We could pass them on to the next generation or the generation after us. This can not only benefit us now and reverse our own medical conditions, but these genetic tags passed on to our children and grandchildren can give them a genetic advantage or a handicap. Thus, your lifestyle can give your posterity a benefit or a handicap for generations to come. So getting back to the question, why has there been nearly a fourfold rise in diabetes and obesity in the last 40 years? Could learned behavior and epigenetics explain this rapid rise? Can the foods that we eat change the genes that we pass on to our children? Yes, the answer is yes. And that is through this exciting new science of epigenetics. If we are overweight, diabetic, etc., then we have now significantly increased that risk for our children and our grandchildren through the genes that are turned on or turned off by our lifestyles. There was a fascinating study showing this phenomenon in action. The northernmost part of Sweden in Norrbotten is a very cold, isolated part of the world. During winters when food was scarce, people were very lean. And conversely, during years of plenty, it was so cold, the winters were long, people just sat around and ate all the food that they had stockpiled. Surprisingly, researchers found that the children who were born during these famine years when their parents didn't overeat were not only healthier, but also lived 32 years longer. Not only did these famine year children enjoy remarkable health, but their grandchildren did as well, regardless of how they lived. Conversely, children born during the plenty years, when people tend to sit around and overeat, had more health problems and died much younger. Dr. Randy Jertl from Duke University really pioneered this groundbreaking research in epigenetics. And from his research in mice, he found that what types of foods mice mothers were fed prior to conception could genetically play a large role as to whether her babies would have diabetes or obesity. His follow-up research in humans at Duke University showed that if a man was overweight at the time of conception, then it was likely that his child would genetically have the obesity gene turned on. The science of epigenetics completely overturns this whole concept of Darwinian evolution. In other words, that species slowly evolve over time. Rather, epigenetics, species can change rapidly when faced with a particular environmental stress. And if you think about it, this really makes sense. This is what helps species to rapidly evolve if something dramatic has changed in their lifestyle, like the introduction of processed foods, etc. Well, this also can lead to parental guilt. And this naturally is one downside of epigenetics. And this is the case for me. I was overweight and ate my fair share of processed, chemical-laden, sugary foods at the time when each of my three children were born. And at the time, I was unnecessarily suffering from medical conditions based on my poor lifestyle choices. Jane and I are now doing our best to model healthier food behaviors while our kids are still young, and we hope that these behaviors will stick. Fortunately, I now live free of medical conditions and medications that previously held me back. And with the right supportive environment, perhaps any epigenetic tags that I may have passed on to our children hopefully can be reversed by the healthy environment that we are now modeling for them. We are emphasizing real food first in our home. In other words, we encourage our children to eat real food first at every meal. So we have vegetables, fruit, a healthy fat, and a healthy protein every meal, even breakfast, vegetables, before they eat anything else. The goal here is that we hope that they will be satisfied after eating the real foods and desire fewer of the hunger carbs like sweets, bread, pasta, crackers, soda pop. These are all these processed carbs really to a huge extent are causing a lot of the chronic medical problems, what we're seeing today. And we are seeing that this approach works wonders for our patients. It's also helping with my colleagues, and time will tell. I'll let you know how it goes with our kids. What do you think? Are healthy or unhealthy behaviors contagious? And through our lifestyle choices, can we impact that through helpful or harmful genes that we pass on to our children or grandchildren through epigenetics or these tags on our DNA? Let me know your thoughts. Go on to my website, drjohnday.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments about this fascinating new area of science. And also, if you wouldn't mind, head on over to iTunes, leave us a review. Every review counts.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. John Day Show. Now is the time for you to live better. Go to drjohnday.com to sign up for Dr. Day's newsletter, daily success tools, and more. It's never too late to change.